Tomorrow is the inauguration of the festival. I think that's it, isn't it? 20th is finished.
What you did tomorrow actually, giving is also, you understand, he's having the last class on the 21st.
Oh, he's extending, eh? And maybe I'll try to squeeze it all in tonight. Somehow. I don't know. Let's see. Okay, anyway. First we start out with another childhood Leela of Krishna, that is the Damodara Leela. This is very famous. We don't need any introduction to this. It is another Vatsalya Rasa Leela concerning parental love of Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda was churning the yogurt into butter. Krishna was sleeping, then he woke up, then he was hungry. So he went to Mother Yasoda and stopped her from churning the yogurt, and got up on her lap, and then Mother Yasoda began to feed him her breast milk. Then Mother Yasoda heard the milk boiling over on the fire. When the milk boils over, it makes a big sound. So she heard that sound in the kitchen, and she put Krishna down, and she ran to take the milk off the fire. And then Krishna got very angry because he wasn't satisfied. So he got a little stone and he broke the yogurt pot, and then he ran away. Of course, his tracks, his feet were all covered with yogurt too, so that made little footprints into the next room. Then he went to the next room and looked for the butter. And then he started breaking the pots there, feeding the monkeys. Then he went outside. He trailed outside. He went outside. And then he was sitting on top of the overturned mortar. And he was sitting there with the monkeys, feeding them. Some of the soda came back, and then she realized, oh, must have been Krishna, because she saw his footprints. And then she went, tiptoed over, and then she realized he had gone outside. And she peeked outside, and she saw him sitting on top of the mortar, feeding the monkeys. And then she began to chase him, and he was looking around, and then he began to run away. And she eventually caught him, and then she said, well, I have to bind him up. In relation to this, there is several things. One is in the commentary on Nectar of Devotion there, Vishnu Chakravarti says that this is an example where the Lord is not pleased by the service of the devotee. In other words, Mother Yasoda was taking the milk off the fire and Krishna got angry. So this is an instance where devotional service is not pleasing to the Lord. But we cannot call it not devotional service. Obviously, Mother Yasoda's intention is pleasing Krishna. So therefore, it still has to be devotional service, whether Krishna is pleased or not. So we cannot say the definition of devotional service is anything that pleases Krishna, because it did not please Krishna. He got angry. But it's still devotional service. On the other hand, we have some things which are also pleasing to Krishna, but we know they're not devotional service. That is when Krishna fights with demons. It is pleasing to Krishna. He likes to fight with the demons, but it's certainly not devotional service on the part of the demon because they hate Krishna. So their intention is wrong, therefore it's not devotional service. Whereas Mother Yasoda's intention is always 100% devotional. Therefore it's devotional service. Whether Krishna is angry or not angry or whatever. Yeah, but still anger. He was so angry he broke the pot of yogurt of Mother Yasoda. So, we cannot always say what is pleasing to Krishna is devotional service. What is done with an intention of pleasing Krishna, that is devotional service. We're trying to please Krishna with it. So that is what is also attractive to Krishna. So, of course, we can also say that this anger of Krishna was not real anger, because it's part of his leela. Nevertheless, he manifested this type of bhava. Apart from that, when Mother Yasoda was binding Krishna up, or she decided to do that, then Krishna said, I cannot be bound up because I won't be able to play anymore with my friends and steal the yogurt. So I'm not going to allow this to happen. How can I allow it to happen? So his We call his sankalpa shakti, his desire, interfered with whatever Mother Yasoda was trying to do, and says, I cannot allow this to happen. So therefore, when Mother Yasoda got the rope and tried to tie him up, it was not long enough. And when she got more rope, it was still not long enough. And it was very surprising to Mother Yasoda. Why? Because she understood that Krishna couldn't expand because he was still little, and no matter how much rope she got, it was still too short. But he was still the same size. He didn't expand himself. He was still a little baby. And at the same time, she knew the rope wasn't getting any shorter because she kept on adding pieces of rope. But nevertheless, it was always 2 fingers too short. That was another thing. Why 2 fingers only? And every time she got rope, every time it was 2 fingers short. So this was very astonishing to Mother Yasoda. So the other cowherd women heard about this, and they were watching Mother Yasoda, and they began to laugh because it was actually very funny. Mother Yasoda kept on bringing rope, trying to tie him up, and it was always too short. So they said, oh, Mother Yasoda, you better stop this. It's the will of providence that Krishna cannot, your son cannot be bound up like this. You don't try to bind him up. He wants to play, whatever. So you don't bind him up. But Mother Yasoda was determined that I must somehow or other teach Krishna a lesson. So I have to bind him up. So eventually she did bind him up. So how did that happen? Because Krishna said, I'm not going to be bound up. And his sankalpa shakti was determined that he wouldn't be bound up. So the reason is that Mother Yasoda's determination was such that the kripa shakti of Krishna interfered and said, you can no longer do this. And therefore, that desire, I have to play, etc., disappeared, and he allowed himself to be bound up. Why? Because he had mercy. When he showed mercy, that the kripa shakti became manifest when he saw that Mother Yasoda was endeavoring so hard. So, Vishnu Chakravarti explains that the significance of 2 fingers means there's 2 elements. One is parisram, which means endeavor, labor, work. That is the devotee. The devotee is very fixed in trying to, you know, do something for Krishna. And the other is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And both are very strong. Both are very strong things. So if the endeavor of the devotee is very strong, if he's very determined to serve the Supreme Lord, then again, you have the mercy of Krishna. And if those 2 things are there, then Krishna gets bound up. So that if we don't have those 2 things, then Krishna is not bound. And if we have those 2 things, then Krishna gets bound up. So in other words, by our endeavor, Krishna shows mercy, and then he becomes subjected to the devotee. So that is what is taught by this story. Actually, all the verses are also very nice because they show it's all contradictory in one sense. Krishna is described as being, you know, without beginning, without end. He is beyond all space and beyond all time. No beginning, no end in time, no beginning and no end in space. So how is it possible for Mother Yasoda to bind him up? And definitely very difficult to do also. Because Krishna had already showed, I am the universe, because he showed us the universe inside him. So how can anyone bind up Krishna? The yogis also, they cannot control Krishna. Jnanis cannot control Krishna also. So a very difficult thing to do. But we see that Mother Yasoda was able to do what the yogis and the Jnanis and everybody else cannot do. Why? Because of her great devotion and her great effort in pleasing Krishna. So then Krishna came under her her control. So this again glorifies the exalted status of Mother Yasoda, that she was able to bind up Krishna. So in this lila, he shows we can say his achintya qualities. The achintya meaning inconceivable, because things are contradictory. Like we say, achintya bheda bheda, different and non-different. These are opposites. To be one and not to be one. to be one and different. They're two different things, like black and white are opposites. So we cannot, how one can thing can be two things. It can only be one thing. An object can be black, or it can be white. It can't be black and white simultaneously. Or an object can be a microphone and it can't be a table. It can be one or the other. It can't be both simultaneously. But in Krishna, by his Achintya Shakti, opposites somehow disappear. And somehow both things can exist within the Supreme Lord. So this is shown by Krishna in this Leela. God is called Atmarama. That is, he's completely satisfied in himself, completely peaceful, enjoys within, enjoys himself. He doesn't need anything else. He's self-sufficient, he's independent. Yet we see in Krishna, in this Leela, he was hungry. He was not Atmarama. He wanted food, he wanted milk. He got angry. He was had this desire for something. Supreme Lord is called Aptakama. He doesn't have any desires. He can fulfill his own desires within himself. If he wanted more, he wasn't satisfied with some milk. He wanted more and more and more. Supreme Lord is supposed to be Sudasattva, pure goodness, beyond the modes of material nature. Yet Krishna showed anger. He got angry. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the consort of Lakshmi. Lakshmi is all wealth. So Krishna doesn't need any wealth. But he goes out and steals. As if he needs something. What's the other one here? Oh, yeah, Krishna is beyond birth and death. He's, you know, can't be killed or anything like that. He's beyond all fear. And yet he has fear of Mother Yasoda, so he runs away. Okay? And Krishna, of course, is faster than anything. Like in Anisupanishad said, you know, no one can catch the Supreme Lord. Okay? He's faster than the fastest, faster than the mind, whatever. So the Supreme Lord, no one can catch him. But Mother Yasoda is able to run after Krishna and catch him. So in these ways, Krishna shows that, yes, he is God, but at the same time, he's not God, in one sense, because he contradicts all this. But in Krishna, all of these things can simultaneously be there. He can be fully satisfied and at the same time be hungry. He can be fearless, at the same time be afraid of Mother Yasoda. He cannot be caught by anybody, but he's caught by Mother Yasoda. So God has shows in the form of Krishna particularly, so many opposite qualities. So these are not something to be criticized. We shouldn't criticize Krishna for this. But this is his glory, that he can show opposite qualities and they make him superior. They make him more attractive because he has these contradictory qualities within self. So this is his Achintya Shakti operating, where he can have opposite qualities, and there's no problem for him. And rather, it makes Krishna more attractive, because he has these opposite qualities. So in this way, Krishna showed that he actually becomes a servant of his devotee. We see, of course, in the example of he drives the chariot of Krishna, etc., of Arjuna. But this is even more so in the pastimes in Vrindavan, how Krishna becomes the controlled by his devotee. And here we see an example of it where he actually becomes tied up by Mother Yasoda, gets punished by Mother Yasoda. Even though he likes to play, that tendency disappeared because he wanted to please Mother Yasoda. So he becomes controlled by the love of Mother Yasoda completely, that he gets even tied up. So this is a great example of how the Krishna becomes controlled by love. This is the ultimate quality, of course, of bhakti also. In Nectar of Devotion, you have six qualities. Yeah? And the last one is Krishna Akarshani. That bhakti attracts Krishna, pulls Krishna. Krishna is all attractive, Krishna also means Karshana. It pulls. Krishna pulls everybody. He's attracted to everybody. But bhakti pulls Krishna. Bhakti attracts Krishna. So ultimately Krishna comes under the surrenders to the bhakti of the devotee. And he becomes a servant of the devotee. So this is shown here, how he becomes a servant of Mother Yasoda. Similarly, of course, and the other example, of course, is that he becomes a servant of Radharani also, because it's in the conjugal rasa, Krishna becomes controlled by the love of Radharani. He becomes her servant also there. What's that? Oh, yeah, the six qualities of bhakti here. Klesha Gni, to destroy suffering. Subhada, to bestow auspiciousness. In other words, bhakti will destroy all the bad things that we don't like about material existence. All the suffering, ignorance, desires, karma, etc. And it will bestow good things. That is, good qualities, which are manifest in, of course, the Supreme Lord, and in the jiva, in his purest state, they begin to manifest. Subhada. And so that the devotee becomes attractive to everyone. Of course, there's different definitions of subhada. One is a devotee becomes attractive to all living entities. Another is a living entity becomes compassionate to all devotees. The other is that the devotee develops all good qualities. Not sattvagun qualities, but spiritual qualities. And the last one is sukha. He becomes happy. Not materially happy, but spiritually happy. So that's the second quality. Third one is moksha laguta kriti. He thinks that liberation is insignificant. It is no longer the goal. It is something very insignificant, like the water in a calf's footprint. It's nothing. It's just a little drop of water in the desert. Fourth quality is rarity. It is rarely attained. In other words, of course, bhakti in the beginning is not so rare. Sadhana bhakti is not so rare. The first two qualities appear in sadhana bhakti. Second two qualities, that is lukuta kriti, moksha lukuta kriti, and durlabha, these are in bhav bhakti. So bhav bhakti is rare. That is very rare. Why? Because Krishna starts giving himself there. And Krishna doesn't give himself to everybody. And you can't do it by any mechanical means. It is only by pure love that Krishna will give himself to the devotee. So it's very, very rare. It's not a mechanical process which will do that, like yoga or jnana or anything else. So it's very rare. The fifth quality is that it is sandrananda, condensed bliss, or very, very intense bliss. This appears in prema. Of course, in bhava, which is the previous stage where these other two, third and fourth quality appear, that is also blissful. But the quality in prema is it is intense bliss, extremely intense bliss, sandarananda. More than bhava, and bhava is a million times more than the bliss of Brahman, impersonal liberation. That's why in bhava they reject liberation, because it is nothing. That bliss is nothing compared to bhava. But bhava compared to prema is also nothing. It is one ray of the sunlight. The sun is prema, and bhava is one ray of that sun. So therefore the intensity of ananda in prema is so much more than it is in bhava. But nevertheless, bhava is actually a little bit of prema. That's what it is. So it's genuine experience of Krishna, but it is very little. And then when it's full, it becomes prema. So that's the fifth quality. And the last one is Krishna Akarshani, that attracts Krishna. Of course, that doesn't mean only Krishna, because even Narayan is attracted to his devotee also. And the verses are like that, I think, in relation to Ambarish. There it is said, Vishnu says, I am in my devotee, and my devotee is in me. So even for Vishnu, he is also attracted by his devotee and that bhakti, and he gives himself to him and protects him. That first section, Samanya Bhakti, the general description of bhakti, six qualities are listed there. Okay. And so the first two appear in sadhana, the second two in bhava, and the third two in prema, the last two in prema bhakti. So these are unique to bhakti. We will not see these in moksha. We will not see them in karma or yoga. These qualities. This is very, very special for bhakti. And particularly the later ones. Okay. So, we'll see in many of these leelas that this is what happens. Krishna comes under the control of the devotees, ultimately. and that'll, more and more we'll see that. Okay. Any other question there? No. Okay. So she's bound by Radharani, ultimately. Okay. At the conclusion of this story, actually, Sukadeva Goswami mentions that what Mother Yasoda achieved was not achieved by Brahma, not achieved by Shiva, not achieved by Lakshmi. None of these personalities could achieve what Mother Yasoda had achieved. Even Lakshmi, who is the most intimate of Vishnu, did not get the same status as Mother Yasoda got with Krishna. She did not have that intensity of love, nor would the Supreme Lord surrender in the same way as Krishna surrendered to Mother Yasoda. So the fortune of Mother Yasoda is considered very, very great. Even though Lakshmi is, you know, intimate with Vishnu and sits on his chest and everything, still, the intensity of love of Mother Yasoda was so great that Krishna was bound up, and he will not do that for the others. So that Mother Yasoda is a very, very high platform. Of course, we ultimately see that Radharani is ultimate, but then it's a little bit cryptic because Sukadeva Goswami doesn't mention her name. So, but before the Ras Lila, generally it is Mother Yasoda gets all the glory as being the most exalted devotee. Though we see the early Lila is all, usually, it is predominantly Vatsalya, when Krishna is small. That's his early age. And then he grows up a little and he begins to walk, and then he later begins to have his friends. And then they go out and they're assigned to herd the small calves. Yeah? So at that time, then Krishna begins his Sakya Rasa. That becomes very prominent. The Vatsalya Rasa doesn't disappear, obviously, because all the way through the Vraja Lila. But at, in the second part of the Lila where he goes out and herds the calves and then later the cows, this is a lot of this becomes, Sakya becomes very prominent. So we see in the Bhagavatam, stories like Agasura and everything, we have nice descriptions of the cowherd boys with Krishna, playing with Krishna and taking lunch with Krishna, etc. So at that point, the Sakya Rasa becomes very strong. And after describing that a little bit, then Sukadeva Goswami says that these cowherd boys, not only the cowherd boys, but everybody in Vraja, are so fortunate that they have done piles of punya to express the fact that they are so fortunate to be able to play with Krishna in such an intimate way. But when he says punya, that does not mean material punya, because obviously these cowherd boys are not also material entities, and they're not also sadhana siddhas, they're also nitya siddhas, so it's not that they did regular material punyas to get this position. And the same for Yasoda and Nanda, even though he says, okay, Drona and Dara were previously worshipping the Lord, then they became, it's not sadhana at all. They are all nitya siddhas. So in the case of the cowherd boys also, when he says, this is punya, piles of punya. It doesn't mean material punyas at all. It cannot mean that at all. It means they've been worshipping Krishna before like this also. They've done piles of similar types of auspicious activities for Krishna. It's bhakti. So this punya does not mean material punya, it means bhakti. That's pure devotion. So they got this position because they've always been doing pure devotion for Krishna. So in this way, they surpass all of the other personalities, the persons who are trying to attain Brahman, whatever. Even those people who are in Dasya Rasa, he says that they are superior to Satam. Those are aspiring for Brahman, impersonal liberation. Is superior to those in Dasya, Dasyam Gatanam, those who have achieved Dasya Bhakti. The Sakas, the cowherd boys, are superior to those people also. So they've attained a very, very high position. What to speak of the people who are after material happiness. So therefore the cowherd boys, though they treat Krishna as an equal, just like a common friend, a cowherd boy, they are not higher position than all of these people, than the karmis and the gyanis, the yogis, and even the bhaktas who are in Dasya Rasa. They're much more elevated. So actually in Nectar Devotion also Rupa Goswami says that generally the common goal of bhakti is Dasya Rasa. And to get anything higher than that is very rare. To get Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhuri, that is rare. Uncommon. So the common goal for most people is this Dasya Bhakti with Vishnu. That is common. So when we hear all these pastimes in Raja, that is very, very uncommon. So, yeah, this is a little... Because Lord Chaitanya appears, Bhakti to Krishna becomes... He's liberal. He is the Mahavadanya, most generous. So he's not generous only in delivering people, but he delivers everyone into Krishna Bhakti, and ultimately you can get up to Madhurya Bhakti also, which is the rarest of the rarest of the rarest. So this is all available through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and chanting the holy name. If Lord Chaitanya is not there, it's hopeless. We cannot approach Radha and Krishna or even anything in Raja without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
I mean, all
Well, in one sense, but as I said, if you choose a certain path, like if you choose jnana, then that's what you get. And Krishna responds to that. Whatever you choose to worship and how you worship Him, then Krishna responds to that, and then you end up with that. If you do Sakama Bhakti and you stick to that, then you end up with Salokya or something like that, with a very distant relationship from Krishna and some planet of Aishwarya, kind of like Aishwarya Goloka or something. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, as far as original or whatever, we attain according to our sadhana here. But then, of course, our sadhana, we can say, is our constitution in one sense. And why we choose a certain sadhana and a certain path, perhaps that's our sarup. So the two things go together. We cannot really distinguish, you know, and say, well, why that person chose that and why he's going there. For instance, why the jnani chooses jnana when we can show him bhakti, we try to give him mercy. Even when we give him mercy, he doesn't accept it sometimes. Why? Because that's his taste. We can say that's maybe his surup. And so certain souls seem to have certain surupas, and that's where they go. And if we're lucky, then we have a surup with Krishna. And fortunately, Lord Chaitanya blesses us somehow or other. We get mercy and we join the Krishna consciousness movement. Then we get the chance. So it's like a matter of Krishna kind of guiding the jivas in the right direction to go where their sarup is, plus the mercy of the devotees combined, plus our own, let's say, our paramatma guiding us and our own intuition, and somehow we get our particular process. We can say it like that.
Does that mean the place from the position from where we left originally, is that the, I don't know if you've answered that question, but the place where we originally fell from, that position, is that where we're going to go back to?
Well, in one sense, yes, in one sense, no. It's not discussed much in Shastra, other than when we talk about our sarup, your sarup becomes revealed, and the sarup is supposed to be eternal. That's all we can say. This is, your sarup is eternal. So therefore, it gradually is revealed through your particular process of sadhana, that's all. But like we say, Nitya Krishna Das, you're eternally Krishna's servant, but somehow, and we don't feel like it at the moment, it's all covered up. So what that is, we also don't know at the moment. And it may not be with Krishna, maybe with Vishnu or Rama or anybody also. But by doing some particular sadhana and choosing in a certain direction, then we start developing in a certain way, and then we attain it. So we can face a combination of Krishna's mercy, our own intuition, and the mercy of devotees, and then it develops. But to say where the sroop was, when, and whatever, we can't say. So it's like in one sense we can say it's like the Lord Chaitanya gives the example of the planting the seed and then growing the plant and then manifesting the fruit. So the fruit is prema, and in prema your sarupa is manifested. So it starts with the seed, and then it develops, and then it manifests the fruit, you know. So that it's there in a seed form, whatever your sarup is, and then manifests at a certain point due to the cultivation. And if you don't cultivate it properly, it doesn't develop. Subhada, you mean?
Yeah.
Sadguna, okay. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I think, different qualities are mentioned of the devotee, This type of devotee is very dear to me, whatever he is, sama, and he does not disturb in different circumstances, that was 6 verses describing the qualities of a devotee. The qualities of a devotee are a little different from the other qualities of the Gyani or anybody else. The qualities of the Gyani are all sattva-gun, material sattva-gun. If you look in Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, I think chapter 23 of 11th canto, there it gives a list of this is sattva, this is raja, this is tama, for so many different things. And he says, jnana is sattva-gun only. Bhakti is transcendental. And he gives all sorts of, different varieties of places and things which are sattva, raja, tama, and bhakti, like that. So bhakti is transcendental. Everything related to bhakti is transcendental. All the qualities of the bhakti are transcendental. And all the qualities of the Gyani are sattva. And everything related to that is sattva. So, in later chapter, I think 13, no, 14 maybe, it talks about the Gyani. And the process of Gyana and the qualities of the person doing it. And the method of cultivating it. So that is, we can say, is all sattva-gun for the Gyani. It's not transcendental. So when we speak of qualities that the devotee develops, obviously we don't want sattva qualities. We want transcendental qualities. So if it's only developing qualities of sattva-gun, that is nothing special. Because again, he can also get that. Somebody said subhada, having sadguna, then we cannot say it's just the material qualities. It also means transcendental. So these are qualities belonging to the soul. not to the, they may look similar. Just like we have all the rasas in the spiritual world and also in the material world. So we have qualities that sattva guna and we have qualities in the spiritual world. It looks similar. Krishna has similar qualities also. He has all nice qualities which look sattvic because we have sattvic counterparts. But actually it's not. It's transcendental. Krishna's qualities are transcendental. So Krishna is merciful. Krishna is equal to everybody, etc. But it's not the sattva guna one. It's transcendental. So the devotee also develops. In other words, just qualities develop from the soul. Qualities of the soul developing. And the qualities in sattva-gun are manifested, it's a mixture of gunas, and behind that is a purified false ego. But there's still a motive of self-interest even in sattva-gun, even though the qualities look very nice compared to the rajagun and tamagun. Still, it has still got that ego behind it. Ego and the mode of goodness, so it's still contaminated. Yeah, Suda Sattva. Yeah. Good quality. We could say like the demigods, but actually better, superior. Similar. It looks similar, but actually it's superior, because demigods are also sattvic only. So if we only develop sattvic qualities, what's so special about that? By doing, worship of devatas and stuff, you can also develop sattvic qualities, so that's nothing special. So if this is a special quality of bhakti, then it has to be something different. So those qualities are temporary. Yeah? The next lifetime you may not have them, you may become a rakshasa, fall down. When a devotee develops qualities, those qualities will be eternal. I'll say eternal qualities. Yeah, we can say if we have sattva guna and we take out the ego, then we can have sudha sattva qualities. The problem is though that the jnani that tries to do this, he doesn't want to have any qualities. Because he wants to merge into Brahman, and Brahman has no qualities at all. So then he develops all these sattvic qualities to help him attain no qualities, and then he rejects all of the sattvic. So he doesn't want qualities. But the devotee likes qualities. Yeah? So he maintains qualities, but they're spiritual qualities, that's why, not material qualities. And they're not an impediment to them. The reason that the jnani rejects the qualities is because they are also an impediment, because sattva guna is also an impediment. If you want to get liberation, you have to reject the sattva-guna qualities also. And then you end up with zero qualities. That's his idea. So he rejects everything. So then he becomes nirvishesh and all that, impersonal. But we understand you don't have to reject the qualities. But those qualities are all in relation to serving Krishna only. Yeah, they are symptoms of our devotion. So in other words, when those 26 qualities of the devotee, and mentioned, the main quality is surrender to the Lord. That's the main one. Everything else will follow. If we have everything else and not, it won't work. It's all artificial. It's only at the sattva-gun level, and it'll change. If one surrenders to the Lord and that becomes fixed, all the other things will naturally manifest. Which qualities? Well, they're a reflection. Yeah, just like Krishna says, in the Vibhuti Yoga chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita, I am this in the material world, I am that in the material world, I am, I am the mountain, I am the Himalayas, I am the Ganga River, I am the tiger among animals, because tiger is regal. So these are all these good qualities we see in the material world are reflections of spiritual qualities. Obviously, Krishna is not just a tiger, but whatever is wonderful we think in the tiger, that's a reflection, one little spark. One material spark, one little amsa of what Krishna is in his qualities, in his kingly nature, whatever like that, or in his beauty or whatever. So in other words, all the wonderful, remarkable qualities in this material world are a reflection of the spiritual qualities of Krishna. And similarly, the rasas in the spiritual world all reflect in the material world. So we have material love, material affection, material friendship, all this is similar. And in fact, it's very similar. And some, you won't be able to tell the difference in one sense. So then some people will think of Krishna's Leela as all material, because it looks very similar. Krishna has girlfriends, Krishna has boyfriends, Krishna has mother and father. So some people say, oh, then Krishna must be a material being. So very similar in many ways, but there's a big difference also. The big difference is that all these people who are in relationship with Krishna, nothing for themselves. In the material world, no matter what type of relationship, selfless or non-selfless, whatever, there's always that element of something for the self. We have that desire for our own enjoyment there, which causes bondage. Looks like there is all different sorts of people at different stages, they can attain. In other words, people going through sadhana now, they can attain all these different levels depending on their particular choice or whatever, what type of relationship, whether it is distant or closer to Krishna, whatever. So that they could attain any of these levels as sadhana siddhas. So we see, like, for instance, in the Ras Leela, some people, some of the gopis could not go. They were locked up by their husbands and their fathers-in-laws in the house. So Vishnu Chakravarti says the reason was because they were not completely purified, which means they were still sadhana, doing sadhana, and then they would come up to sadhana and they're not completely pure. But by the intensity of their separation from Krishna, by being locked up, they got purified at their last whatever, slight contamination or whatever. Then they were allowed to meet Krishna and they escaped from the house or whatever. Somehow they got to see, or if not on that night, then the next night or the next night or the next night. Somehow they got to meet Krishna eventually and they joined in the Ras Leela. So in other words, they got their perfection in that last time and they also joined even in the Ras Leela, even though they were coming up to sadhana. Yeah, there'll be different levels and also different mixtures also. Okay. For instance, in Sakya, there'll be a mixture of Dasya in some of them. Some will have a little more Vatsalya in them. So the elder ones will have a mixture of Vatsalya with the Sakya. The younger ones will have a little Dasya in there. Okay. So there'll be all sort of, and then there'll be pure Sakya equals, with an equal age. Okay. So you get all sorts of mixtures in here. And then you'll have some who are serving closely and some who are a little more distant, whatever. The main difference is by Vaidhi Sadhana, generally you go to Vaikuntha, and by Raghunuga, you go to Vraja. However, if you do Vaidhi Sadhana and worship Krishna or Radha Krishna, then you go to Aishwarya Goloka. If you maintain that Vaidhi all the way through into Bhava and, you know, you stick to that and you don't switch. Yeah? In other words, as we see here, the Mother Yasoda and, you know, the cowherd boys, there's no Aishwarya there. Huh? But if we want to worship in Krishna and Aishwarya and we get attached to that, but we want to worship him as, you know, young Krishna with Shamsundar form and all that, huh? We're obviously not going to go to Dwarka, nor are we going to go to Vishnu because it's a different form. So we have to have another Krishna like that, but still, it's not the same as this Krishna because of that mood of, oh, this is the Supreme Lord also. So therefore, there's another place called Aishwarya Goloka. And that actually is also described later on where the Krishna takes the, looks like the inhabitants get liberated, according to Padma Purana, and he takes them back, and they all go to Aishwarya Goloka. But meanwhile, invisibly, the other people, other inhabitants of Raja are still here playing with Krishna, but we can't see them. And Putana, she became a nurse So Vishnu Chakravarti makes it clear, not in the Raja in the spiritual world, not in Gokul. In maximum Aishwarya Goloka. It looks like Vrindavan and Krishna is there and the cowherd voice is there and the gopis are there and everything, but everybody is with some awe and reverence for Krishna. Yeah, with an idea that this is also God, kind of, you know? Like that. So it's a mixture. It's not pure madhurya or intimate. There's a mixture, reverence there. Recognition of God. But it's a form of Krishna.
And it's so perfect, right?
Yeah, it's all perfect according to one's taste, you know. Then you go to Lord Chaitanya. But of course, they're non-different, you see. Lord Chaitanya is actually Krishna again, and they're both Amsi. They're both the, you know, so they contain everything within them. So if you attain Lord Chaitanya, you also attain Radha and Krishna. Because the essence of Lord Chaitanya is he's in the mood of Radharani, but he is actually Krishna. So if we really actually become a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, then we have to become a devotee of Radha and Krishna also. Because his bhava was expressed as Radha. Yeah? He was expressing the mood of Radha, but he's actually Krishna. Yeah? And his whole mission was to reveal the love of Radha and Krishna to the world. Yeah? So if we become a real devotee of Lord Chaitanya, we also become a real devotee of Radha and Krishna.
That's like an automatic thought that even the person, it's not that late, you may be thinking, I mean, there's so much on the meditation, the memories are going in those circles. It's not exactly the
cause. Well, probably that will also happen automatically later on, sometime in the sadhana. The two will go together, they'll manifest. Huh? Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that in the spiritual world, if you are in Gaur Leela, you can simultaneously be in Krishna Leela. You can have both Leelas simultaneously somehow or other. Because it's so close together. Hmm? The mood is so close. It's not like you cannot be simultaneously in a Vishnu Leela and a Krishna Leela. They're quite different. Or even in a Ram Leela and a Krishna Leela. The mood is completely different. But the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna is very, very close. Very, very close. Yeah? So therefore, one can be simultaneously in both Leelas.
There is.
So we cannot separate the two then, actually. Yeah? Because he's also chanting the holy name, and he's going into ecstasy, and his ecstasy actually is the ecstasy of separation from Krishna as Radharani. And actually consider that his Harinam in Navadvip, when he's doing this, this is equivalent to the Ras Leela. It's like the Ras Leela. The ecstasy is the same and somehow it's equivalent to the Ras Leela. Yeah. So that's why we're advised to actually go through Lord Chaitanya. Yeah? And this way we can approach Radha and Krishna. Okay. So concerning the cowherd boys, how exalted they were, there's a leela, the Agasura leela. So this was the big snake that came along. It was the brother of Putana. So he took the form of a big snake and opened up his mouth. And his mouth went up into the sky, and he opened his mouth and he had big teeth and everything. And the cowherd boys came along. And then they said, oh, this is some wonderful thing. I wonder if it's a snake or not. Some said, it looks like a snake. Some said, oh no, it's only a plaything. Something that Krishna's probably manifested for us to play in. Huh? And then they began to walk into it, of all things. And Krishna was looking at them, and said, well, look, this is a big snake. You can't do that. But he stood there awestruck. So why was he so surprised? He was surprised because he couldn't do anything about it. Why? Because the desire of the cowherd boys is stronger than his own desire. The cowherd boys were thinking, if it is a snake, well, we'll go in and Krishna will save us. So their desire was stronger, so he could not stop them. So in other words, again, the desire of the devotee was stronger than Krishna's desire. So Krishna was shocked by that. He says, my shaktis are, you know, playing the trick. Lila Shakti, my Lila Shakti is cooperating with these boys and cooperating with them, and I cannot even prevent, you know, them from going in. They're going in, and the Lila Shakti, Yogamaya are all cooperating with the boys, and I have no power now. So he saw them go in like that, and of course, they all very willingly galloped in. It's very nice how he shows the cowherd boys going in, and the little calves were galloping after them with their tails up in the air, running into the mouth of the serpent, and the serpent had these huge fangs. And his tongue was stuck out like a little road going in, and there was like a cave in there, and they went in there. And then Krishna had to run in after them. So in this lila, actually, Krishna showed his Aishvarya in a different way, because in the previous lilas he didn't. He remained as a small child. With Putana, he remained a little child. He didn't show any other form. And with Trinavarta also, and the Sakadasura, he remained as a little child. But he exhibited power, but it's just a little form. But here we see that he did something different. He expanded his form and choked the snake, Agasura. And he expanded himself so much that Agasura choked to death and left his body. So the reason for this is that it was convenient for Krishna to do it in this way. Why? Because actually no one could see. If he had done it publicly, everybody would say, oh, he's not a boy after all, he must be God. But here he could very freely just expand himself, and then no one could see it because inside the snake. So according to convenience, he can, you know, kill the demons in different ways. So the remarkable thing about this story is that when he died, and then all the boys came out, then they saw this glow come out of the snake and enter into Krishna, like that. But later on, a few verses later, it says he got Sarupya, not Sayujya. Of course, it is also difficult. Some people will say, well, look, if his spirit soul was there, how could anybody see it? Because spirit soul is very small and invisible. So one explanation is actually the Sarup was also there. Not just the soul, but his actual form was also there, and so it showed up as a light like that. Just like Putana got the body of a nurse in the spiritual world, so her brother also got a sarupya, so supposedly of Vishnu form, not in Krishna Lila again. We got a form like the Lord in Vaikuntha by the mercy of Supreme Lord. So this was actually the devatas, when they saw Krishna kill the demon, they were cheering, you know, in the clouds up there. They're rejoicing and throwing flowers and everything. And then when I saw the spirit soul come out, the spirit soul go into Krishna, they were even more astonished. This is a big demon, so how can the demon get this type of liberation? But not only did he get Sayujya, he didn't get Sayujya, he actually got Sarupya, which is even higher. So this is very remarkable. So this time, when they were awestruck and celebrating and everything, when he entered into Krishna, then that sound went all the way up to Brahmaloka. And then Brahma became very curious, what are they all doing? So then he came down also. And at this time, then after this, what happens is the Brahma Mohan Lila, where Brahma comes along and then Krishna bewilders him when Brahma tries to bewilder Krishna. So Brahma also came down and he saw this, and he was also astonished at how this little boy can do this, and this demon is merging into the body of Krishna. So anyway, this demon also got a special type of mercy, because even though he was a demon, because he was killed by Krishna, then Krishna gave him a special benediction and he got Sarupya in the spiritual world. So it's another case of great mercy. So by contact with Krishna, he became purified, just as Putana also became purified, and when they burned the body, it smelled very nice. So the same with this demon. He also got purified, and the body remained, but also didn't smell. And actually they used it as a playground, and used to play on top of the snake later on. So it didn't have any bad smell or anything. It got transformed. So it also became, the snake also, the body became purified. Everything became purified by the touch of Supreme Lord. So even Agasura and his soul also became purified by the mercy of Krishna.
Because you stay there for 1 year, no?
That's because of the Brahma Mohan Leela, the next Leela. They were the same day. Along came Brahma when they're taking their lunch, and then he tried to take the cowherd boys away, and then Krishna expanded himself, and for 1 year nobody knew about it, and only after 1 year the real cowherd boys came back, and they went home and told their parents about this 1 year later.
1 year
that there, huh? Yeah. And they were playing and everything. Something,
You know, when you were explaining the story, it always sounded like the only reason that Krishna gave Agasura to Rupi Mukti was so that the demigods would become the Lord, and Brahma would become the Lord, and then come down and do a lot of things.
But no, also just because of extraordinary mercy, when he comes as Krishna, then he shows extra powers than normal. So with Putana also, she got the body of a nurse with him. And also others also, they get special liberations which are not normally given to the demons. Why? To show the extraordinary mercy of Krishna. He can give this to them, and also not only does it show the mercy he's given to them, but it shows how much more the real devotees must have. If he can give this to them, this shows the exalted position of the real devotees. That it's much more than this. It's something much greater. But it shows also a mercy to these people. Unconditional mercy. Yeah, we can say that. Yeah, I suppose so. Only special personalities, special big demons get a chance to meet Krishna. For instance, the giant Vijay wanted to fight with the Lord because there's no one actually qualified to fight with Krishna or with the Supreme Lord. So therefore they prayed, we will take forms and fight very vigorously with the Supreme Lord, and that way we'll please him. And because normal jivas cannot do this. So in other words, we can say that it's very special to actually meet the Lord and even to fight with the Lord. But of course Krishna says, I come into the material world to kill the demons. But then Krishna, of course, doesn't have to come personally to do that. So only when very special demons are there that nobody else can conquer, he must also come. So not only they're special in one sense, but they're special in the other sense. They're very powerful. And no one else can kill them. Only Krishna can kill them. But when he does kill them, then he also is very merciful to them. And gives them even Sarupya Mukti or Salokya or whatever. Usually it's not going to be the same demon coming back again, and it'll be other demons. Because once they get their sarupya, they're fixed there. That's there. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur says each of these demons represents a different anartha. I think he has 23 different demons, and each one he gets a different anartha for each one. They really give us teachings.
So that means that he left his wife
and then he came back with Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Either that or his Amsa. My expansion can come.
Expansion.
Yeah. Kazi went?
Yeah.
Oh, that, I don't know. I don't know where he went. It doesn't say. Where would he go? Maybe he goes to, maybe he would go to, no, but the Kazi actually wasn't, he became a devotee. Yeah? So then, he wasn't killed like the other demons were killed also. So we can say he can participate in Lord Chaitanya's Leela in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have an expansion in another place, I suppose. So. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Was he Kamsa or Shishupal or what? Kamsa. Who was previously Kalanemi. Yeah, and Kamsa. Okay, okay, we'll do one more then. Oh. Brahma Mohana Lila. So then, right, this continues with the Brahma. I won't go into the details, but anyway, the boys were having a nice picnic. They decided to, you know, eat their lunch after all this was over. And there's a very nice description there in the Bhagavatam how all the boys were in a range and Krishna was in the middle and they're all around, surrounding him in different ways. And of course, there were actually, there's countless cowherd boys. Like the cows, I think, is like 3 billion cows or something like that. And there's the same number in Ras Lila also, I think there's 30 billion gopis or something like that. So unthinkable numbers of gopis and cowherd boys and calves and cows and everything. Huh? Somehow, by Krishna's inconceivable shakti, everybody was able to see Krishna. And he was facing all directions. They were all seeing him not his back, but his front. And he was in the middle. Huh? And they all had their own lunches. They all bring their own little packet and they tie it on their stick, you know, or something, and they're carrying their lunch and they open it up and then they all share their lunch. They don't eat it all themselves. They like give to each other like this, you know, or they throw it to each other and play tricks on each other, or they stick a little flower in the middle and give it to him and he eats it and his big flower in the middle spits it out like that. So they have all sorts of little games they play with the food like that, and they will exchange food and say how tasty it is. So, and then Krishna saw some monkeys coming along, and he said, oh, this is a good chance. Now the monkey should come up, and they should steal something from the boys, and this would create more of a problem. Huh? But then his own shaktis, his sankalpa shakti, was understanding, oh, Krishna wants some interruption to this meal. So then the sankalpa shakti called the lila shakti, and he said, we will do something better. We will bring Lord Brahma here. Huh? So then at that time, Brahma approached, and then Brahma saw the cowherd boys like this with Krishna, and then he got the great idea. I will play a trick on Krishna and see if he can solve the problem, and see if he can detect, and what he will do when I steal the cowherd boys. Will he find them or not? And this way I'll test his power of intelligence and his, you know, general powers, because he saw how Krishna had killed the demon, you know, Agasura, and Agasura's soul had merged into him. So I will test him and see. So, then we see that he took the cowherd boys and put them asleep and put them in the cave. Huh? But Krishna, Brahma cannot touch the cowherd boys because they are spiritual. So there, and he can't put them to sleep either. Huh? Because Brahma's power is not that great. He's only within the material world. He's also got a material body and he's only got material powers. He cannot interfere with these cowherd boys at all. So therefore, whatever was done was not, Brahma could not touch the real cowherd boys. Vishnu Chakravarti explains that actually, when Krishna understood what he was going to do, and then Yoga Maya and Mahamaya got together, and they made a set of Mahamaya cowherd boys for Brahma. And Brahma took those cowherd boys, put them to sleep, and they went to the cave, and they were like that. Huh? So what to do with the real cowherd boys? So Krishna took those, hid them under Yoga Maya. And meanwhile, then he expanded into all the calves and all the cowherd boys. And said, I will play a trick on Lord Brahma. Yeah, so therefore we have three sets of cowherd boys and calves. The Maya ones, the real ones, and Krishna being everybody. So the Maya ones stayed in the cave for 1 year, and Brahma thought, okay, they're all sleeping. The real ones, Krishna made disappear, and they went into some yoga Maya trance somewhere. And then Krishna expanded himself into all the calves and all the cowherd boys. And it said that they were exactly like the cowherd boys in all respects. So the mothers could not see that they were any different. The mothers will know if it's not the real boy, you know, the real my child. The way he acts, the way he speaks, his habits, his looks, everything like that. But Krishna exactly corresponded to each child. So the mother could not detect. It was different. And all the calves, again, the mother cow always knows who her calf is. But the cows couldn't tell the difference. And that's countless calves, you know, millions of calves, millions of cowherd boys. And Krishna expanded into each one, and each one was doing something different. And no one could detect. No mother could detect. No cow could detect at all. But one peculiar thing was, he couldn't detect. He didn't actually go that day. He was kept back by his mother. Because it was his birthday or something, I don't know. Or he was doing something, and then he didn't participate in this Leela at all, actually. One peculiar thing happened is that even though everything was exactly the same, one thing was not exactly the same. And that is that the mothers began to love the children more than ever. So that was not the same, it was more. They began to love their children more, and they also began to love Krishna more. Both things. And the cows began to love their calves more. And there was no good explanation for that. That's only after 1 year, minus 4 days, then Balaram realized there's something peculiar here. So for 1 year, even Balaram was under the influence of Yoga Maya, and he could not understand anything. That was the power of Krishna. And that's how Balaram realized there's something wrong. And it must be Krishna. Because no one can put me under Maya. And the demons cannot do this. Nobody can do this. Only Krishna is capable of doing like this and fooling even me. So then he realized it must be Krishna's Maya. So he asked Krishna what's up, and then Krishna told him. So anyway, it went on like this, and the intensity of love grew. So how is it possible Krishna could not simply be exactly like the cowherd boys? Why? Because he cannot control the love of the devotee. That is out of control. The prema of the mothers, all the gopi mothers, that he cannot control that. So that was out of his control. So therefore, it just kept increasing. And same with the cows. So then after a while, then when the 1 year was up, then Balaram saw how the mother cows on the hill, they came running down, they came charging down the hill, and the cowherd men were running after them. They got angry at them, and they were calling them. They wouldn't stop. And they were jumping over the rocks and everything, and they came down the hill to lick their calves. This is very strange. But then the thing happened that when they saw their sons, the cowherd men, immediately their hearts melted, and they forgot their anger, and they embraced their sons. And then Balaram thought, this is very peculiar, and this has not happened before like this. And moreover, the cows would not take care of their... 1 year went by, and they got new calves. But they wouldn't take care of the new calves. They would only give milk to the old calves, which are actually Krishna. So this is very strange, how they're neglecting their own newborn calves, and they're going to the old ones and they're licking them. You know, they just can't separate. You know, they can't separate from their old calves. So Balaram thought it's strange, and then he began to think about it. And then after thinking, then he realized bit by bit that it cannot be any influence of devatas or anyone like that. It can only be Krishna. Finally, and he realized, yes, Krishna's done something. So I'll go ask him. And then he went to Krishna, and Krishna said, okay. Yeah, he asked him, and Krishna said, okay, I've done this. And he said, why he had to do Balaram also? Why he had to bewilder Balaram for you? Because Balaram would have felt separation from the real cowherd boys. Because they weren't there. It was all Krishna. And other cowherd boys weren't there. He had hid them. Krishna had hid those cowherd boys. So So therefore, he said, I cannot separate him from these people. Therefore, I'll put him under illusion also. So why he did this, why Krishna did this? Because he wanted to fulfill the desire of the cowherd women. The cowherd women were desiring, I must also have a child just like Krishna. Mother Yasoda's, that's Mother Yasoda's child, but I would also like to have Krishna as my child. So therefore, he took this opportunity of bewildering Brahma to also fulfill the desires of the cowherd women. Yeah? So he fulfilled the task of outwitting Lord Brahma and simultaneously fulfilling desires of the cowherd men and cowherd women to become all the children, and they could serve him without even knowing it. He became all of their children. So this again is a display of Krishna's mercy, how by his Shakti he was able to expand himself and please everybody. Please all the cows also. So he drank the milk of the cows, and he drank the milk of all the mothers. And that way all their desires were fulfilled. So he fulfilled all the desires of all the devotees. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, the gopis got married to Krishna because at that time. So Brahma came back, and then Brahma said, "Well, look, the calves and the cowherd boys are still in the cave." But then he looked, and he saw the calves and cowherd boys walking by him, looking at him. And then he thought, "Well, which are the real ones? There's two sets here." Are my ones the real ones? Are these ones the real ones? Are both unreal? Or both are real? And are the real ones somewhere else? So he got very confused. He couldn't think about it at all. And he got very, very confused. So at that point, Krishna decided, okay, I'll reveal everything. So Brahma looked, and then suddenly he saw all the calves and all the cowherd boys turn into Vishnu forms. Not Krishna forms, but Vishnu forms, because he wouldn't understand anything. It was all Krishna. So he turned into Vishnu forms. So at that time, then Lord Brahma, he was awestruck, of course, and astonished, and for after a while, then that completely overcame him. But he realized, oh yes, this Krishna actually is Vishnu; he's God. And he was so awestruck that then Krishna removed that vision, and back there was Krishna and all the cowherd boys and the cows again. So, in other words, Brahma then realized that Krishna actually is the source of all these other forms. And he has within him all Vishnus and everything, all the universes, and everything is within Krishna. And then he began to recite his very famous prayers after that. Yeah? And then, of course, Krishna brought back the real cowherd boys after that 1 year. And then they all went home, and they told their mothers and fathers about that. Today, Agastura got killed. Yeah. So in this way, Krishna showed his remarkable power of expanding himself in this way and fulfilling all the desires of all the mothers and fathers and cows and Raja by becoming their children.